This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Alice at 97.3's Sarah and Vinny.
Good job, Eric. Good job, team. UPS Freight is seeking full-time city drivers, road drivers, and part-time dock workers in San Leandro. Great starting pay. Drivers must have a CDLA. Apply at UPSJobs.com. Celebrity Trash is brought to you by the Oakland A's. Baseball is back, opening day and night with the A's. Check out athletics.com/green today.
Our team's going to be working with them, and we got to listen to a spectacular promotion for the upcoming event.
Like how excited we were.
Oh, God, you guys were over the
I don't know if any of that got left on yesterday's secret show, but when we go into the three studios down, Studio D, to cut the secret show, UZ and Hooman stay in Studio B, where they are right now. This is the broadcast studio, Studio A, and then Vaughn's in between in Studio C. If you can picture four studios in a row, we can all see each other through windows.
Kind of.
Sort of, yeah. I don't know. There's like posters. Actually, there aren't any posters, and yet it's hard to see. So I don't know why. So we're in there, and we're getting set up in Studio D, and you guys are in Studio B cutting your
A's commercial.
A's commercial, and the level of excitement.
Well, the cool thing was, it seemed like Hooman was upset, but then it turns out he was happy as could be.
It's going to be incredible.
And you go, oh, thank goodness, he's just doing a bit. And then, but then he, like the perfectly good actor he is, he went right back to hostile.
He's a good actor.
He's a good actor.
Hooman, did you ever take an acting class?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
I took a lot of mime classes.
Mime classes? Whoa. What?
We had a professional mime. We did church theater when I was growing up.
Oh, we have to post
church
that.
Theater.
Can we please? No,
awesome.
I haven't done it since I was like 15. I can't
sure
bust
has
it.
To be. You've
got I just
it
like to
right
tell there. These stories and
that's
then
amazing.
Move on to the next
Can
one.
You do the pulling a rope, moving yourself along a rope? Mime thing?
Yeah, we didn't really do...
Can you do I'm a Trapped in a Box?
Yeah, I know. What
you're naming the two things there are that mimes
what else
do.
Is
Can
there?
You do pouring a cup of tea and taking a sip?
Yeah. I mean, listen, we didn't really do that kind of mime. We did more like, you know, stuff that that would have to do with the Bible. So,
oh, Bible mime.
Yeah, like Bible
you
mime.
Pretend you were on the cross or...
Yeah, stuff like that.
Is that bush on fire?
Stuff like that. Parting the Red Sea.
That's a hot...
Exactly.
Oh, parting the Red Sea! Oh, my God,
can we
that's
see
amazing.
That, please?
No, it's been so long. I can't even remember our teacher's name. I think his name was Mark, but this guy was like
Mark.
A world-class British mime. And the guy loved Jesus a lot, and so he would always come to the First Presbyterian Church of San Mateo and do these like performances before the sermon was preached.
Did 15-year-old Hooman ever stand in front of a mirror in his bedroom all alone practicing his mime?
No, when I was a
you
kid,
never practiced.
When I was a kid, we were at church 5 days a week or 6 days. We were at church all the time.
Wait. Your mom took you to church 5 days a week?
Yeah, because one night would be like choir practice, and then one night would be youth group. And then
you were so involved.
We were just so involved, yeah. We were there all the time. And
wow. You didn't have time to practice mime at home.
No, there was a night that was dedicated to like the acting in the theater for the church. So we had a lot of practice. And, you know, these things would be 2-3 hours a night.
So you felt like you got enough practice in those 2 or 3 hours. Did you guys perform this mime
for
the congregation?
Absolutely.
What did you act out? The 12 Stations of the Cross?
No, I mean, I one time had to be Jesus on the cross and stuff like
that.
Oh,
you did have to mime the cross thing. So you had to carry the cross and
did you
stumble under the weight of the imaginary cross?
Well, you know, Good Friday's coming up, so this would be about the time that you would... you would act out this kind
of
stuff.
Oh, can we plan something for Good Friday?
No, no, we can't.
Oh, please.
A little performance?
Absolutely not.
Story
really
needs that desperately.
To see the mime.
Well, no, we don't.
30 years later.
No, it's. I'm just telling you.
We're giving
you
plenty
acting.
Of time. You can like give us a part where we're standing there supporting actors.
I'm giving you the part by just telling you the story. That's enough.
That's good. That's a good story. This is the first time we've heard about this mime training.
You're welcome.
Hooman's a trained mime and a trained opera singer. Whoa. Jesus, what can't you do?
I don't know.
Opera and mime.
4 hours on this show. Hey, on a side note, everyone, it's World Poetry Day today.
Oh, is that so?
And our resident poet, Vaughn, in the other room just gave us a 30-second poem, and I put it on the Alice 973 Instagram.
Oh.
So he had an audience of two.
Who, you and Yuzi?
No, Soleil and Yuzi.
Oh.
And anyway, celebrating World Poetry Day, everyone, check out Vaughn and his incredible skills.
What about, did he put Beauty in there?
He did not.
No.
No, Vaughn. He's not a one-trick pony, Sarah. He's
That's
got other
stuff.
That's
his signature piece.
Well, but he doesn't have to do that every time. You have to
pose.
See it. It's short.
Her instinct
nice.
Is to just wear every single thing out.
Yeah,
I know.
She does. So,
and yet, unbelievable.
Here I've been for 21 years. It's working for me so far. Let's beat that dead horse. Hey, so did you perform in a bunch of plays at the church and stuff? Like, did
we
you
did.
Ever play?
And I've looked for the tapes of these, like, hard.
Somebody's got to have them.
So that you
right?
can destroy them?
No.
No.
I would post it. Are you kidding? I'm proud of my work back then. It was so.
It's quite the little thespian.
Listen, when you put that kind of time and effort into something, you want to go back and watch it.
Yeah.
And you're a kid. Like,
that's fun watching
say.
Yourself as a kid.
You know,
you thought you knew what was going on in the world. You're a kid. You look back later and you're like, oh, look at that innocent child.
You
there.
Didn't do one play or one musical or one singing thing ever as a kid, Vinny?
Of course I did.
What'd
well,
you do?
Don't you wish you had a video of it?
I was in bands, number one. You know, punk bands. I did a play in seventh grade where I played the lead guy.
Oh, what was the part?
It was actually a rewritten, I forget what they called it, but it was supposed to be like a modern Romeo and Juliet.
Oh.
And I played Mercurio, which is the sidekick
to Romeo.
But I had the most lines because I was the comedic
relief. They're like, we got to get Vinny some lines here.
So there
we'll
were.
Make them up so we'll
no one will buy him as Romeo, but we can make him the crazy sidekick and give him some extra lines.
So yeah, I did that, and I you know, look, you did your thing, but the videos that I would want to see are videos of me skateboarding because I was really good at that when I was that age, when I was a kid.
Well, it's cool to look
but
back.
But the
at
video
your old videos.
Would have been this giant shoulder camera type thing.
Yep.
And there's only a couple of them because most of the time we were out in the middle, like we would build ramps. Or we're at the skate, and we're all kids. Who's got one of those?
Yeah.
We have hours and hours and hours of me, my brother, and sister lip-syncing to songs and acting out videos. And
in your house, though?
In our house.
Yeah, see, that's why you have that, because your camera's in your house.
There it is. Well, right, because you couldn't, not only was it the big shoulder thing, there was a pack that you had to strap
right.
on that you put the actual videotape into. This wasn't that long ago. You know.
Really?
Well, no, not in terms of the length that people have had any technology at all.
Well,
I mean,
right, but in technology time, it seems like...
It's an eon, right.
A million miles since
I'm reading that. I'm almost done with Origin, which is the Dan Brown book. So I've got the whole reveal now.
Do you hate it?
I don't. It's super interesting. And like you said, I mean... I don't want to give away or ruin
what
anything for anybody.
Science fiction, though, right?
What happens at
it's
the end?
It's not really science fiction. It's sort of a mystery, and there's some intrigue, and there's
You'd
a reveal.
Wouldn't you say it's set today, though?
It is. Oh, absolutely. Mm. Like in this day and age. But the point that this futurist is making is that it is about, you know, he's got this. He's made quantum leaps in computing, and he's got this this computer that is. It's like talking to a person. And it's
hello,
just,
Alexa.
Right.
Yeah.
Well,
sorry, I didn't mean to do that.
She's not quite at the level that Winston's at, but it's very.
I know, but we're not far
right,
off.
Right. We're really not. And they even say at the beginning of the book, like all the technologies that are in here are things that are real. So it's and then he makes some predictions, and that's what the book's about. Sort of these predictions that he's making about
age-old questions.
Race. Right.
Age-old.
Right, and it's a good read. It's a fast read, and it's exciting. A lot of crap happens, but it's just so funny because I do think about how primitive by today's standards, and it's really been, you know, 30, 40 years since really everyone had a computer, and it's just amazing. We absolutely take our phones for granted. These things that 10 years ago, we didn't have these things, or few of us had them. But I mean, in the 2000s, it's just, the pace of it is just dizzying. How did we get here?
Oh, the mind.
What happened at the end of the book?
I'm not at the end of the book yet, and I would never say the end of a book. All right, I'm going to start with Stormy Daniels.
All right.
She's super fun. She took a lie detector test in 2011. This is long before she signed any kind of confidentiality agreement, because apparently that happened in 2016. She took a lie detector test in 2011 about her affair with President Trump, and she passed. Not that that matters at all. Those aren't even admissible in court. People can fudge those. Right. So In Touch was there sitting in on the interview. And they actually, I guess this past January, yes, dear.
So at this time when she was doing this interview, was her point that he cheats on his wife?
Or I
what was
so.
She going? Because at that time he wasn't publicly holding any, he was the guy on The Apprentice.
Right, exactly. So in 2006, she did this interview. This is the one that we have gotten all these details and, you know, the stupid crap that she's saying about it. So then a couple years later, In Touch, I guess they just had opted not to run the story. So they sat on the thing. And then a couple years later, they asked her to take a polygraph test.
Who's
In Touch Weekly, the magazine itself. So they had this interview and they hadn't put it out there. Mm-hmm. And then they said, well, let's do a polygraph and see if that's real. And then they sat on the interview and they sat on the results of the polygraph until this past January. And that's when we all started to hear about it. So the test results are only just coming out because one of Stormy's attorneys paid $25,000 for them. The three questions were around July 2006. Did you have, and they spelled it all out, sex with Donald Trump around 2006. Did you have unprotected sex with Donald Trump? Did Trump say he would get you on The Apprentice? Those were the three questions. She answered yes to all of them. The polygraph said she was telling the truth on at least the first two, possibly the third. And, you know, they're not reliable enough to be considered admissible in court, so they don't matter at all.
And yet I believe her 100% and still don't care.
Right.
Like, that is something for Melania to deal with, and it's a bummer because she's so publicly... she can't leave him, right? The pressure of that situation, like, that's why I think Hillary has always stuck around with Bill, because the situation is publicly, you are stuck.
Right.
Stand by your man.
She could leave. There'd certainly be plenty of support for it. But was it yesterday on The Secret Show? The whole Christian divorce thing.
Yeah, there's different pressures. Sure. You know.
I feel like they have a contract of some sort.
Well, she needs to stick around for X amount of years. I'm sure there's a prenup in place. In an interview yesterday with MSNBC, Stormy's attorney says they have a lot more evidence they haven't even brought out yet. Former Playboy model Karen McDougal is suing the owner of the National Enquirer for the right to talk about her alleged affair with Trump. She's saying the National Enquirer paid her $150,000 to not talk about it. They say that the guy who owns AMI, which is American Media Inc., the owner of National Enquirer, is a friend of President Trump's. His name is David J. Pecker.
Pecker.
It's really the whole reason I did this story.
Really?
I am that shallow. So she's saying basically they paid her $150,000 for her silence. So shut up. You took the money. She says, AMI lied to me, made empty promises, and repeatedly intimidated and manipulated me. I just want the opportunity to set the record straight and move on with my life, free from this company, its executives, and its lawyers.
I thought the deal was her understanding was that they were going to release her story, and she was going to be able to talk about it, and that's why they paid her the money, and that's why she says she agreed to it. And there was going to be follow-up stories.
So this is the manipulation she's talking about?
Yes.
They lied to me.
Yeah, and then they gave her the money, bought the story.
They bought the story, and then said, you can't say anything about this because it's our story now.
Yep.
Oh. Yeah. There's that. Yeah, I don't know what's happening with that. This is also a judge has ruled that former Apprentice contestant Summer Zervos can proceed with her defamation suit against the president. She's suing because he called her a liar for claiming that he groped her in 2007. So, you know, remains to be seen how that all shakes out. Aubrey O'Day, we were talking about this yesterday, and we heard her wonderful song named DJT, which supposedly is about her affair with Donald Trump Jr. when she was on The Apprentice. It looks like he might not be her only reality show romance. She told a graphic story, I guess, let's see here, about some, she wouldn't name, this was back in 2012. She was on some podcast. O'Day is a singer from Danity Kane. She told the listening audience that her boyfriend or whatever he was, her affair, was a big celebrity. She couldn't reveal his name because I'll be sued up the ass. Sounds awful. She said that while filming a show, not specifying which show, because she was also on Diddy's show, so it's possible she's talking about Diddy. Brother Love. She caught the eye of a star after she'd performed on the finale episode. I was walking through the hallways and got pulled into this bathroom, and he threw me up against the wall and looked at me for 2 seconds. And then we started making out like crazy. He goes to rip off my dress and he's like, holy F, I've never seen Spanx that big in my life. She went on to explain that she and the mystery man began a relationship, which included phone sex, Skype sex, and he affectionately called her Spanky because of her undergarments.
I have a question. Yes, is that Vincent. Hot talk? I'm curious. I've never seen Spanx that big.
I feel like that's an insult.
I feel like you're calling me fat.
Right. What are you saying? Was it to hold her gigantic boobs in place?
Well, I mean, there's several different kinds of Spanx. Maybe she, who knows? The biggest Spanx I've seen are the ones that that don't cover your boobs. They kind of leave an outlet for your boobs, and you're wearing your own bra.
Oh.
And then it's kind of like a tank. And
oh,
then,
yeah,
it's called,
yeah.
Mini, what do you call those?
Singlets.
Wrestling singlets.
Yeah.
It's like a singlet.
And but it goes further down your leg.
Yeah. Those are the biggest Spanx that I know of. Although you can get ones that go down to your knees. It's a whole thing.
Well, I don't want to stop it halfway down my thigh and then squeezing out underneath. I don't need my tops of my thighs looking like toothpaste tubes.
The other name for a muffin top.
Yeah.
Whatever that would be.
Yeah, the opposite of that.
Yeah.
Popover. Anyway, she says that, I think I'm great, but he hangs out with like Victoria's Secret models. He's at dinner with huge celebrities. He runs with the biggest agents and managers and like, he's the ass. So I can't really trust this person. We're from different worlds. And the affair ended, she said, because he was in bed with someone else and she caught him. So I don't know if that was Diddy or if that was DJ, TJ.
If someone pulls you into a closet and does you right there, are you surprised when you find out he's up to that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No.
You can't possibly be, right?
I would think that that would be...
That's his norm.
Yeah.
Well, that's his move. And she fell for it, so... And he insulted her.
So it turns
right
out...
Right before he got her, you'd think she'd go, screw you!
So I'm thinking...
That's the biggest Spanx I've ever seen!
No, get
What's going
here.
On there?
Well, I'm thinking, okay, so...
Spanky?
Take off the Spanx because you know how hard those are.
Those are tough, man.
Are those Spanx?
It's actually not attractive getting in and out of Spanx.
Oh, it's so hard. I break a sweat every time.
Every time.
But you know how the Spanx have the...
crotchal part in the bottom?
Yes, that's open.
So that you don't have to take them on
off?
And off?
Yeah.
I don't have any Spanx like that.
Okay.
The original
Spanx.
Have an opening. Like a full-on?
There better be a full-on because I've happened to see... something, there's not a very pinpointed directive happening there.
It's still tough. If you're wearing Spanx and you have to go to the bathroom, it's still an issue.
Sure.
I find myself having to take it all off. Otherwise, you know, I'm just going to
soil
number one on my...
Right, that's what I'm saying.
Well, I was thinking beyond number one. I'm thinking, like, how far back does that hole go?
It doesn't go far back enough for that.
You know what? You can't.
I don't know.
Come on.
I'm just asking. I don't have those. I could use them, but I don't have them.
I know. I could use another pair. Mm.
I can't imagine you'd be trying to aim through the hole in the Spanx with caca.
Well, I mean, hopefully you can pull the hole apart, you know?
Yeah.
Like make it accommodate.
Whatever. We need to stop talking about this.
Okay.
You're going to make me boot.
Come on, Spanky.
Good news. Aubrey O'Day, the woman in question here, she wrote not one but two songs about Donald J. Trump Jr., apparently. The other one, so we heard one yesterday. It's, you know, just a song about some cheating guy. This one is a remake of the Gautier song, Somebody That I Used to Know. And she cut a video for it and everything, but I guess the video never saw the light of day because she wound up not paying the production company. But there's stills from it, and possibly even the video itself.
Yeah, there's the video.
But she's naked, and she's got words like cheater, liar, seduction written on her body. And here's a little sample of that.
I didn't understand that part.
Yeah, you're not supposed to.
Get to the chorus. I want to hear how she changes that. Is he still just somebody she used to know? Just some. Oh,
well,
she said something else there, huh? I see.
She says the A word.
Oh, just some effing liar that I used to know.
Oh, is that what she's saying?
Yes. Yeah. The first one was A.
Oh,
the second
just
one
some
was
a whole A.
Effing liar.
Do they ever show a full body shot in the video? It's just a close-up.
Not
close
that I
up.
See, no. Yeah. It's just, yeah.
What's that say across the front there?
It says hate and
liar.
Oh, yeah, hate and liar.
All right. Hmm. Well, she's mad.
Clearly. Maybe she got over it before it was time to pay the production company and moved on with her life. I don't know. Hey, what's coming from the news, Vin?
Oh, so much stuff. But I will, I should say, so much nonsense. But I also have a story about an update on the FedEx bomber in Austin. Radio.com.
Alice at 97.3, Sarah and Vinny, Alice's morning show at 6:39, hump day morning. Don't forget, Survivor's on tonight. UCSF Health bringing us this portion of the program. We have a special screening of Ready Player One 1 week from today. It's a private Sarah and Vinny screening. We're trying to keep the numbers kind of small. Trying, doing our best. A lot of people want these tickets. You can watch it with us before it hits theaters. If you're caller number 9 right now, 800-400-3697, caller 9 wins 2 passes to our exclusive Ready Player One screening in San Francisco. 1 week from today, it opens in theaters everywhere. Thursday, March 29th. Call now. UCSF Medical Center is ranked the number one hospital in California by U.S. News and World Report. UCSF Health, redefining possible.
The Radio Alice Report.
What's up, everyone? This Alice Report is brought to you by RadioAlice.com. We got all dressed up this morning because you can watch this show.
Check me out over here.
Right.
Fancy pants.
That's what I always say.
Yeah.
RadioAlice.com. That's where you can watch us. So here's what's happening. This news is good, I guess, in light of there being some bombings happening in Austin, Texas. They have caught and the guy has been killed. Actually, he killed himself, it looks like. So this story out of Texas, the suspect in a series of bombing attacks that terrorized Austin over the past few weeks blew himself up either late last night or early this morning, depending on
what time zone you're in.
Right. Law enforcement was closing in on him and he decided to take himself out. So he had an explosive on him, I guess, in his car. Authorities had zeroed in on the suspect in the last 24 to 36 hours. They even have video of him going or still pictures of him going to the FedEx location where he was dropping him off.
Wow.
So they've moved in on this guy quick, which is impressive work. Police and FBI and everyone else out there protecting our safety. That's profoundly good work. So those videos or those shots were available. You can find them online. I saw them this morning, and it's him in a wig. They say it's a wig. Mm. I don't know. But anyway, in the last 24 to 36 hours, they located this guy's vehicle on Interstate 35. They were waiting for a ballistic vehicle to arrive when apparently this person realized they were being watched.
Right.
And they began to drive away. He began to drive away. Authorities followed the vehicle. And it looks like this person was rammed off the road or drove off the road. SWAT team members approached. The suspect detonated an explosive device inside the vehicle and that's that. Right now, all we know is the suspect is a 24-year-old white male, and they don't even say if he's from Austin. Early reports were these attacks were racially motivated because of the ethnicity of some of the people
who received the bombs.
Right. But we don't have any. They're now going to be going over all of this guy's data.
Mm. I'm sure. Fine tooth comb.
Right. They're so we'll get more info.
That, still be careful. They don't know if he mailed anything in the last 24 mm-hmm. hours.
That's exactly right. Authorities on Wednesday or today warned of the possibility of more bombs have yet to be found. They say, we don't know where this suspect spent his last 24 hours. Therefore, we still need to keep an eye out.
Or if he acted alone.
Right. That's the other.
Right. And they can't question him now.
What we do know is we believe the same person built each one of these devices, but that still doesn't mean this person was acting alone. We know when he bought some of the components, and it's hard to say whether he was building along the way. So they have quite a bit of info, actually, considering, and there's probably a lot more they've not let out.
Right.
So this they really started to close in on Tuesday at 1 in the morning when that package exploded at the FedEx shipping center. From there, things started to unravel for this person, and police got, well,
zeroed in on
him. So we know now that he's dead, and they're still checking to see if there are any other explosives around. Another really big headline that I can't skip is Facebook's pain continues as their stock has dropped a lot. It dropped a lot yesterday and continued. I looking at it now, it's down over 4 points. It dropped 7.
What's it at?
163.82.
Yeah, I want to say it was 186 a couple days ago when I looked at it.
Yes, you're right. 186 yesterday, it looks like. 168. Anyway, you know what? Snap would kill for that number. So, anyway, it's interesting because what they're saying in my story here is, as critics have been blasting the company for the massive leak that caused this issue, Facebook's two biggest names have been missing in action. Zuck and Sheryl Sandberg have not been heard from. All of this stems from the fallout from a revelation that data firm Cambridge Analytica grabbed information on 50 million unwitting users. Sharing of the social network took another hit. Oh, sorry. Shares took another hit yesterday as this continues to drop today.
And major ties to the Trump campaign through that Cambridge Analytics or whatever it's called.
Right.
Bannon's involved in this now, and it's just...
Well, they admitted
they said
also...
we were going to delete that info, and didn't.
They admitted also that more than 100 million users saw Russian propaganda before the 2016 election last fall. And so they've already been dealing with that.
Mm-hmm.
The delete, hashtag delete Facebook continues. One of the biggest names to jump on that is a guy who made $1 billion off of Facebook.
Oh, is it Sean Parker?
No, it's a guy named, let me find his, Brian Acton.
Oh, do you know who Brian Acton?
I don't. I thought you were going to say Chamath because he's been writing a lot of bad things about it as well. Brian Acton.
Facebook acquired Brian Acton's company for $22 billion in 2014. He is a founder of WhatsApp.
Oh.
And has since left Facebook and taken his money and continues to be in business. I think I read that he just invested in another startup type WhatsApp company.
Yikes.
So he must feel like he should have kept his company pure.
He's personally worth $5.7 billion.
There you go.
Oh, good for him.
But he...
Oh, good for you.
Good tweeted...
For you.
What is...
He tweeted, it is time, hashtag delete Facebook. And so it caught everyone's attention because everyone went, aren't you the rich guy who sold his company to Facebook? And he can't
yes,
say
I
no,
am.
Right?
Say what you want. I still have $5 billion.
I guess that allows you a lot of flexibility.
It seems like it would make life easier. To I care would be, so much less what other people think.
What are we going to do with all our pictures if we delete Facebook?
I'm not going to delete Facebook.
I'm just saying, if you did.
Most people won't.
Okay.
I agree with you. Most people won't.
Most Where of them are my on my Instagram, because I usually start with Instagram first and then share to Facebook.
Who owns Instagram?
So,
Google?
Facebook does.
So I'm screwed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not deleting any of that crap. I don't care.
Well, you should still have all your photos, right?
Yeah, I guess in your phone.
Yeah, or on the cloud, or if you've dropped them onto a hard drive, whatever the case may be, you should have all those pictures.
There's so many of them.
Facebook should not be the one that
holding
you're
all your stuff
to hold
right,
your greatest
holding me
memories.
Hostage, yeah.
But if you've been on there for years and years and years, it's just it has become kind of a chronicle of your life, and it would be a very difficult thing. I would find it, and listen, I don't even use Facebook all that much, and I would find it difficult to delete. There's so many things. I'll look back. You can look back years. Mm. It's incredible.
I actually think that our kids probably look at our page more than we do, wouldn't they? Or no?
I think my kids have zero interest in my Facebook page.
They don't, really?
They don't, and they're not on Facebook, and they don't
care.
They're not?
Oh, no. At all.
It's for people our age. It's not for the kids.
They're not at all?
No. They have had, but they're not on there. Yeah.
Huh.
My kids are on, well, they were on Snap. And I think they still are.
A lot of people are still on
Snap. They're on a couple
Snap.
Other things. Like I was asking my older son, he's like, oh, there's like five other things I'm on. He's like, I just don't have that kind of time.
Talking about Snapchat stock is at $16.15.
Is that good?
No.
It's terrible.
It's not. I'm way down. I mean, you know. But people still use Snap. I mean, the problem is that, right. You know, have they figured out how to make money? Well, there's the problem. That doesn't mean that people aren't using it.
Right.
Tons of people do. What is the worst thing someone...
Ask someone else.
What? Is it dating something?
Yeah.
What?
What's the worst thing someone wore on a date with you? Like, they walked up and you went, oh, for crying out loud.
Well, when he took his clothes off, it was purple bikini underwear.
Oh.
So that,
did you just go, this is not happening?
Oh, I just went, oh.
You were offended by but you liked him enough to get to that point.
You said, quickly get those off before those register in my brain. Right.
Did you do that, person?
I sure did.
All right.
So
but
didn't stop
I
you.
Did make comment about those chonies as I laughed, you know. To his face.
Mm.
I didn't kick him out of bed, though.
He's probably still scarred from it, though, I'm sure.
Well, I'm sure he never put the purple underpants back on, his purple panties.
Well, she
oh,
did
nice
him
purple
a,
panties.
She did him a favor, if that's the case, yeah. But still.
But that's what stands out in my mind.
The purple underwear.
Pullman, have you ever been on a date where you were like, oh, boy.
I'm thinking, I mean, there have been times where, you know, girls have worn really amazing lingerie under their outfits.
Yeah, I only remember hot stuff, too.
I can't think. I don't know.
There was never somebody you're like, you dressed so inappropriately for the thing that we're going to.
Oh, Boy, that's a good question. Every once in a while, I'll see a girl with a goofy hat on a date, and I'll be like, that's an interesting choice. But outside of that, I...
Goofy hat. Oh.
Yeah, like, you know.
You go to the Derby. Like,
who do you think you are? Princess Beatrice?
Yeah, exactly.
That's funny. I can't remember any fashion faux pas, but I do remember like the hottest thing or whatever.
Yeah. I can't really remember.
The thing I remember being the hottest, do you remember when the baby doll dress was a thing in the 90s?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
This girl, I only went out with her for a month or two, but this girl wore a baby doll dress that was so short, she couldn't lift her arms up, and she would lift her arms up.
Did she have panties on?
Yeah, but I mean, holy smokes, as some dude.
I'm so glad I'm on a date with you right
now.
This
is the best night of my life. Yeah, it was awesome.
Yeah.
You know, the after date kiss.
Included a grope?
How could it not? You couldn't possibly...
There was no place else to grab you.
It was all right there.
Mm-hmm.
Those dresses are long gone, though, right? Nobody wears those anymore.
I never wore one back when they were in fashion.
You never wore a baby doll dress?
Come on. Have you met me?
Yeah, I definitely have. Yeah. I mean, I still love them. I don't think I own one right now, but I would if I'd wear it if it was the right time.
Anyway.
During summer or something, you know.
Sure.
That's showing off a little too much thigh for me. I need it to be ankle. I need T-length dresses.
For crying out loud. The worst thing you can wear on a date is wrinkled clothes, everyone. That's, they say, is the biggest turnoff. Socks and sandals. Come on, hippie. Figure it out.
What kind of date do you think we're going on?
Crocs.
Jack Johnson concert or something?
Yeah, get out of here with the socks and sandals. Come on. Crocs make the list.
I love Crocs, but they are not appropriate for wearing anywhere except in the mud in your backyard. Or if you're six.
415 says, plaid shirt, camouflage shorts, and cowboy hat. When I didn't care about the hideous outfit, I knew that meant I was in love.
Oh, no.
Plaid shirt, camouflage shorts, and cowboy hat. Ooh.
I'm sure there was, I'm going to take care of that as soon as we.
Yeah, I can fix that.
I'll change that.
That's not going to happen again.
Is there a tank top underneath the, like a wife beater?
Right.
Underneath the plaid shirt? That's a look.
Granny panties. They say here board shorts. I don't refer to them that way, but that's, they're talking about surf trunks or whatever. Mm-hmm. Clothes that are too young for your age. Pants that are too short or too long. And super tight shirts.
Oh. Those are no good?
Probably should get an appropriately fitting shirt. Sarah.
Oh, I was thinking about Hooman. Like, you know, one size up. He wears a very tight t-shirt, that's all.
He does.
Yeah. But it's his look. I don't know. He's looking good. You notice how fit he's looking lately?
Yeah.
I've noticed a big difference.
I did see his boxing video.
Thank you so
much. Oh, I didn't see your boxing video.
It's on my Instagram.
Training?
Yeah. It's on my Instagram.
That's great. That's a good workout, man.
It is. Vinny and I were talking about it. I mean, you've got about 3 minutes worth of punches in you before you're absolutely exhausted.
Well, anybody who's ever been in a fight, you will exert all your energy in 2 minutes.
Right.
Like, all of it.
Less than that.
You're lucky.
Throw a couple.
If you don't break your own neck exerting your energy, because you think you're going to die, so you have to.
And then the adrenaline starts to wear off. You're like, ah!
Have you been in some fights?
Well, I used to box all the time over at Empower. That is no joke, man.
You mess up?
No, I really hurt myself there.
All right. The shoulder?
Mm-hmm.
Is it still hurts.
Yet,
it'll act up now and then.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Our tech.
I'm old now. Listen, little things, they're nag.
You don't have to tell me. I think I have the gout.
Oh, my God.
650.
You eat way too healthy to have the gout, and you don't drink, so.
Something's wrong with my feet. They're sore in the morning.
Just
I don't understand.
It happens. You put your feet down.
Jesus.
It's not the gout, man. Don't worry. It's normal.
I was doing a bunch of research on Bryn yesterday.
Oh, you were doing research on Bryn.
Yeah, because of his gout and the red meat and how he couldn't resist the steak.
Oh, right. Your big piece of steak.
Man, the uric acid, bro. You got to do anything to combat
that. It's uric acid, exactly. That's it.
What can you do about that?
Well, you know what to do. Not eat meat, not drink alcohol.
Good luck with those.
It's too bad, Bryn.
I know it sucks.
650 says, oh my God, Sarah. What? I'm reading Origins as well. It's a good book.
Yeah, it is good.
Yeah, Dan Brown's had some stinkers, but that one's not bad.
Yeah. I really like it. It's, I'm...
Well, that last one, Inferno, I'm not even finishing this.
Yeah.
I'm too busy.
I just can't even get
through
it.
I read for pleasure. I'm not having fun with this book.
I kind of want to learn all about the art of Florence. Thanks, though.
Right. What's coming up in the trash?
We're going to start with the top songs in the country at this moment. And I actually have a couple. There's a crazy story about this this Buffalo Bills wide receiver. I'm hoping you'll know some information about this. And more after these.
Sarah and Vinny.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.